May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And you invited me in. Matthew 25, our gospel reading for this day. Did you ever want to see a good movie? Heard lots of good things about it. And then someone comes and tells you what the movie is all about and how it ends. It can be disappointing to say the least. But in today's text, Jesus gives us a look at the last reel, a glorious glimpse of the final scene. Strangely enough, it doesn't spoil it for us. Far from ruining it for all of us, this preview has the power to encourage and to correct us along the way. He shows us this so that we might play our parts in accordance with that dramatic finish. Today is the last Sunday in the church year, and for that reason, our reading turns us toward the last things, the last day. It's a glorious vision set before us by our text. When the Son of Man comes again, when he returns in his glory, and he sits upon his glorious throne, all the nations are gathered before him. No one is absent. All will be present, separating the people before him like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Sheep on his right, goats on his left. There are no qualifiers except the ones that Jesus sets himself. He does the separating. He alone can look into the human heart. At a glance, one would think that salvation is based on works. But we know that can't be true. We are saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. What Jesus is saying here is that when faith goes to work, it's obvious for what it is, service to him. In the custom of the time, the right hand was considered to be the clean hand. It was reserved for eating, handling religious things, touching another person. Gifts were given with the right hand. In that day, if you wanted to insult someone, just try to hand them something with your left hand. If you wanted to be chased right out of the house, go ahead and pass that casserole to the next person with your left hand. They'll kick you out pretty quickly. It's the custom of the day. Sorry, you lefties. In fact, my wife Linda is a lefty, and she tells me she's the only one in our family in her right mind. To sit at the king's right hand was a place of honor and respect. In those days, sheep and goats were often mixed in the flock into the same flock during the day. But there came a time when the shepherd needed to separate them into two flocks. Sheep were totally dependent upon their shepherd. They would tolerate a shepherd, or a shepherd would graze his sheep on short grass. They were picky eaters. It was all that they could reach. Sheep were seldom found in the wild. They had no defense whatsoever from predators. Goats, on the other hand, were rather independent. They would tolerate a shepherd, but were indifferent when it came to following. They could be downright stubborn. They ate everything and anything. They could rear up on their hind legs and chew the buds off valuable fruit trees and bushes. Destructive in their eating habits, goats had horns. They could take care of themselves, thank you. Sheep had to be protected from the environment. The environment needed to be protected from goats. It's well known to farm folk that you never turn your back on a goat. And so the Son of Man sat on his throne, and he said to the goats, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not care for me. They also said, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Unbelieving goats, ignore those who are suffering, those who are hungry and thirsty and naked. They don't see the great need around them. Those who cry out to help are completely invisible to them. They're self-centered. Like goats, they are indifferent. They will not see Jesus Christ in others. And so they do nothing. And in so doing, though they don't realize it, they are denying Jesus Christ. So as the Son of Man sat on his throne, he said to the sheep, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Incidentally, as I read these verses back in seminary, and I hit that verse, I was in prison and you visited me, I thought to myself, well, that's probably not going to happen when I get out into the parish. And in my years of ministry, I've been to a number of county jails and state prisons to call on members of my church. And it always became a ministry opportunity to share Jesus Christ with those behind bars, to bring Christ to them. And what a privilege it was to do that service. Believing sheep serve the suffering, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked. They respond to the needs of others. Their hearts are moved by the cries that reach their ears. And so they do something about it. Though they may not realize it, in serving others, they are serving Jesus Christ. And so they feed the hungry. They give drink to the thirsty. They welcome others. They clothe the naked. They care for the sick and for those in prison. In John 10, Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. There's another picture of Jesus in our text, and you have to do some thinking to see it. It causes surprise for both the sheep and the goats. It's not a picture of Jesus as a little baby in a manger. It's not a picture of Jesus holding little ones in his lap, or even teaching on a grassy hillside. No, our text pictures Jesus in the midst of misery, in painful, desperate situations. Jesus identifying himself with people who need grace, mercy, and love. The starving, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, those in prison. Dear fellow lambs, as I said before, we do not serve Jesus to be saved. We serve Jesus because we are saved. We do not do good works to get into heaven. We do good works because we're on the way to heaven. Yom Kippur, a Hebrew phrase, known as the Day of Atonement, is one of the holiest days in the Jewish calendar. On that day, two goats are selected. One was selected by lot to be sacrificed to the Lord as a sin offering. The other was called the Azazel. The sins of the people were symbolically placed on that goat, the Azazel, and was released into the wilderness, the desert, to perish. That goat became what we know today as the scapegoat. Both are a picture of Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus became the goat. He became sin for us. He shed his blood for us as a sacrifice for our sin. He became the Azazel, the scapegoat, sent out into the wasteland of sin and death to suffer, to die, and rise again for you and me. The Lamb of God became a goat for us. The words of our text convict us. Oh, to be sure, our goatitude breaks through now and then. We often fail to see Christ in others. We look the other way. We think ourselves better than others. We pretend that it's not our problem, not our worry. Thank God that he so loved the world that he sent his son to die for us, that we might not perish but have everlasting life. That's Jesus, once a stranger, now our shepherd. And that's good news for the flock. We have a choice gift from our Lord, a glimpse of that final scene to give us joy and peace to keep moving on. So often we tend to forget how it all comes out. The big surprise we've learned today is that at the end, we discover that all we've been doing at the very least, for the very least, we've been doing for Jesus Christ. By his grace through faith, we hear his blessed invitation at the foot of the cross and in front of that gloriously empty tomb. Come, all you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's rise.